Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Let's go to the Lord in prayer if we would. I like to start things out in prayer, not all the time, but today especially I feel impressed to pray. Father, we just thank you. We thank you for the opportunity to come together on the eve of a new year. And Lord, like Pastor Rob said, we can look back to 2017 and bring to remembrance all that we committed to and the things that we said and the things that we did. And Lord, we can push into 2018 with those things in mind. Though they lie behind, we keep them in mind and we push on. We press in, we press on. I like the words of Paul when he says, "The one thing I do is I forget what lies behind me and I press on towards the prize, towards the mark, the prize in Christ Jesus." So, Father, as we come together and celebrate together as a corporate body this morning, coming off of celebrating the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus, that, Lord, you just open up our eyes, open up our ears, to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to the church in this day, at this time, in this season. Father, I believe you have a word for us today. And as we say all the time, we believe one word, just one word, can change our life forever. So I pray that that one word penetrates the hearts of those hearing and changes their life in whatever area they may have need of. Whether it is finances or physical or mental, wherever they have any relationship. Father, I thank you that that one word can change that situation, that area of their life. So, Lord, we receive it. Holy Spirit, speak to us. Fill us with your presence. Anoint us that we may hear that one word that will change our life forever today as we apply it. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, glory. Glory, glory, glory. Pastor Rob, that song too just really ministered to me today. I mean, it was as many times as we've sung it, as many times as I've heard it and listened to it. It impacted me this morning. Jesus at the center of it all. Jesus is to be the center of it all. We're not to be self-centered. And that's what I think society, our culture of the day, sometimes is teaching us, is to be self-centered. It's all about you. It's all about me. The I. But that's not the way of the gospel.
Amen.
In fact, you're supposed to put others before yourself. Jesus at the center of it all. Jesus at the center of it all. Jesus. This morning in prayer it came out that we're to get on our path. To get on our path. What is our path? What is our path individually? What is our path as a church? As the body of Christ? And Jesus has, it says that he's the way, right?
Yes.
The way can be a road. The way can be a path. Jesus is the road. Jesus is the path. And we've got to get back on that path. Just like some of you, I see you sitting out in the rows. And this is the path. If you're off of the path, we've got to get back on the path. The straight and narrow path. Because broad is the way to destruction. Broad is the way to the I, me, all about self is broad and on the way to destruction. Amen? Oh God, help us to get back on the path. The word that has been coming and rising up inside of me that goes right along with this. And I didn't intend to share this word now. I thought it might be for later, because we are having some vision casting meetings coming up the 21st. But talking about alignment, getting in alignment with the will of God. It's the same as getting on the path. Getting ourselves in alignment with the will of God for our life. Aligning ourselves with what the Word says about us, who we are, and what we're to do. Alignment. Well, glory to God. I did not intend to share any of that this morning, but I believe with all my heart someone needed to hear that and get back on the right path. Get back to putting Jesus at the center of it all. Not self. Not self-centered. Jesus-centered. Amen? Well, like I said, we're on the eve of a new year. How many are excited about the new year?
Yes, yes, yes.
Oh, y'all are not excited. Y'all are like, oh, if it's coming, I'm going to just be there for it. You're not excited about it, though. I'm telling you, with every new day, something new is coming along your path. And you should be expectant of something good, something great, something tremendous. And sometimes we've got to play our part, don't we, Judy? We've got a part to play. If we, someone said it, if we, what did you say, Wanda, what did you say in prayer this morning? If we just do this, this is all we're going to get. How did you put that? Do you remember? Oh, does anybody remember how she put that? She said it like three times. If you don't come expecting, you're not going to get any, I don't know. Oh, forgive me, Lord, I don't remember. It'll come back to me. But it was good. I'm sorry you don't remember either. I mean, I'm the first one that didn't remember, so I don't blame you. She was praying in the spirit. this is funny, but my parents were in town for Christmas, and my mom was asking me a bunch of questions about preaching, you know, and she was interested in it. She says, "Well, what do you do to prepare your message? How do you go and do this?" And she said, "Do you ever re-preach a message?" You know, and I said, "Well, no." I said, "I've gone back and looked at my notes, because I keep all my notes. I do them on computer and then I print them out. I've gone back and looked at my notes and I'm like, what in the world was I talking about right there? I couldn't re-preach a message if I wanted to, going back and looking at my notes. But anyways, so don't, you know, remembering about, you know, I was talking about not being able to remember even this morning what was said. Lord, where are we going with this? Holy Spirit, we just thank you that you are moving in and among us. You know, we just celebrated the birth of our Christ, our Lord and Savior. And one thing that he really impressed upon me in that season, in this season of the new birth, or the birth of Christ, was what? What are we to celebrate? Not only the birth of our Savior, we're not to remember him in the manger as a child, but he was born to bring us back into relationship with God. He was born to give us back the dominion that God originally gave to man. He was born to give us back the authority that Adam walked in the garden. He was born to bring us back into relationship so that we could have all of that. Amen? And with that, why do we need that authority again? Why? Just think about it in the natural. Why do you need authority? To whoop the devil. And that's true. Turn to Luke. Turn to Luke chapter 9. Why do we need to have this authority that Jesus died to give us back? It was ours at one time, but we know in the garden, Adam gave it away when he bowed his knee to the enemy of his soul. And Jesus came. He lived and died. He was born, died, and resurrected to give us back that authority in this earth. In this earth. Say it with me. In this earth. Not in some sweet by and by where we're going to be king. We are going to be kings. You know, we are going to rule and reign. But we're to have authority here, now, in this earth. Amen? Look at Luke chapter 9, and let me read verse 1 out of the Amplified. Luke 9, verse 1. It says, "Then Jesus called together the 12 apostles and gave them power and authority over what?
All demons.
All demons. And to cure diseases.
Yes.
And he sent them out to announce and preach the kingdom of God and to bring healing. And he said to them, do not take anything for your journey, neither walking stick nor wallet for a collection bag, nor food of any kind, nor money, and do not have two undergarments or tunics. And whatever house you enter, stay there until you go away from that place. And wherever they do not receive and accept and welcome you, when you leave that town, shake off even the dust from your feet as a testimony against them. And departing, they went about from village to village, preaching the gospel and restoring the afflicted to health everywhere." Why did they need authority? We read it. One, to have authority over all demons. Two, to cure diseases. Three, to announce and preach the kingdom of God and to bring healing. Jesus died to give us that authority back. Authority over the enemy of our soul. Authority over all his demonic hordes that attack us, that try to wreak havoc in your life. Authority over your body. To bring healing, authority over sickness in someone else's body, and authority to preach the gospel.
Yes. Yes.
Authority to preach the gospel, the good news. Luke 10, just one page over. Two, if you're in my Bible. In verse 19, says, "Behold, I have given you authority and power to trample upon serpents and scorpions and physical and mental strength and ability over all the power that the enemy possesses. And nothing shall in any way harm you." This is Jesus. He's telling them. He died. He was born, he died, and he gave authority and power to trample upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power that the enemy possesses. There is nothing out there in this world that you can't have authority over.
Amen. That's right.
Nothing. Unless I'm reading the word wrong.
Nope.
Unless I'm understanding incorrectly. There is nothing out there in the world that you cannot take authority over.
That's right.
In your life.
That's right.
Amen?
Yes.
Authority. Authority to bring in the harvest. That's what he said, right? Authority to preach the gospel.
Yes.
To preach the kingdom of God. What is the kingdom of God? Well, we know from Scripture it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Amen? He died to give us that. He was born and died to give us that. What is the kingdom of God? Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. And where does that reside? In us. That should reside inside of us. These are internal qualities. They're spiritually discerned. Righteous. How many, when you reflected back over 2017, said, "Wow, I was righteous in all my endeavors"? How many can say that 2017 was a year of peace for them? Or how many can say, "Man, joy flooded my heart every day of the year last year"? These are things that we can have. These are things that Jesus died to give us. He died so that he could send us. We just came through a season of giving gifts, didn't we? He died to give us a gift, the gift of the Holy Spirit. And as the Holy Spirit indwells us, we have access to that righteousness, that peace, and that joy in our life. Turn to Galatians chapter 5. Boy, it is quiet in here. It is quiet in here. Galatians chapter 5. Let's start Let's start in verse 17. It says, "For the desires of the flesh are opposed to the Holy Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are opposed to the flesh," that is, the godless human nature. "For these are antagonistic to each other. They're continually withstanding and in conflict with each other, so that you are not free but are prevented from doing what you desire to do. But if you are guided, led by the Holy Spirit, you are not subject to the law. Now the doings, the practices of the flesh are clear and obvious." Here's what they are. "They are immorality, impurity, indecency, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, anger or ill temper, selfishness, self-centered, divisions, dissensions, party spirit," that's factions, sects with peculiar opinions or heresies, "envy, drunkenness, carousing, and the like. I warn you beforehand, just as I did previously, that those who do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God." If you are doing those things, you shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, that's not saying you're not saved. That is saying you will not inherit the kingdom of God, which is righteousness, peace, and joy in your life. The lusts of the flesh cannot operate in the kingdom of God. You cannot be doing any of those things and be in peace or have joy. Amen? Well, if the kingdom of God is inside of us, how can we separate our flesh? How can we do that? Ephesians 5:5, you don't have to turn there, says this as well. "For ye know that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of God." And let's turn to 1 Corinthians. I'm getting to a point. Somebody said, "Hurry up and do it then." 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Start in verse 9. It says, "Do you not know that the unrighteous and the wrongdoers will not inherit or have any share in the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived or misled. Neither the impure and immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor those who participate in homosexuality, nor cheats, swindlers, and thieves, nor greedy graspers, nor drunkards, nor foul-mouthed revilers and slanderers, nor extortioners and robbers will inherit or have any share in the kingdom of God. And such some of you were." I hope some of you aren't still.
Amen.
"But such some of you were once, but you were washed clean." Listen, you were washed clean, purified by a complete atonement for sin and made free from the guilt of sin. And you were consecrated, set apart, hallowed. And you were justified, pronounced righteous by trusting in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Holy Spirit of our God. How can we separate the flesh from the spirit? What does Paul say? Oh, wretched man that I am. Who will save me? Who will save me from this? In fact, let's read that. Romans. I love this dissertation that Paul gives in Romans about this very subject. Why am I talking about things of the flesh? Shouldn't I be talking about the new year coming and the excitement and the joy? And we're going to get there.
Amen.
We're going to get there. Romans chapter 7, verse 19 in the Amplified. And this is Paul talking to the Romans. He says, "For I fail to practice the good deeds I desire to do, but the evil deeds that I do not desire to do are what I am ever doing." Some of us identify with that. "Now if I do what I do not desire to do, it is no longer I doing it. It is not myself that acts, but the sin principle which dwells within me, fixed and operating in my soul." Where? In my soul. "So I find it to be a law, a rule of action of my being, that when I want to do what is right and good, evil is ever present with me, and I am subject to its insistent demands. For I endorse and delight in the law of God and in my inmost self with my new nature. But I discern in my bodily members, in the sensitive appetites and wills of the flesh, a different law or rule of action, at war against the law of my mind, my reason, and making me a prisoner to the law of sin that dwells in my bodily organs, in the sensitive appetites and wills of the flesh. Oh, unhappy and pitiable and wretched man that I am, who will release and deliver me from the shackles of this body of death? Oh, thank God, He will, through Jesus Christ, the Anointed One, our Lord. So then indeed I, of myself, with the mind and heart, serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin." The law of sin. So why do we struggle with these things? Why do we struggle with our flesh? It's the sin within us. And that is why we have to crucify our flesh on a daily basis. We have to crucify it. We have to feed our spirit man on a daily basis. We have to feed ourselves on the Word of God. We have to feed ourselves with good communication, with like-minded believers. Not gossip around the water cooler. Not talking up the troubles and the pain in our life and in others' lives, and not giving way to their talking up their troubles and their pain. No, we need to edify ourselves, edify one another with positive, good communication. Amen? We need to walk in the Spirit. Even in understanding our righteousness. Because if the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit, we got to understand the righteousness bit first.
Yes.
We really need to know who we are in Christ.
Yes.
We really need to know the authority given to us.
Yes.
By that name, the very name of Jesus. Right?
Yes.
Do any of us struggle with that? Do you struggle with believing that you are righteous? Do you struggle with the fact that you can walk right up to God? Do you even think of it that way? Do we think that we can walk right up to God and have a conversation with Him? You know, under the old covenant, they didn't want, you know, the Israelites, they told Moses, "No, you go meet with him up in the mountain."
Yeah.
We don't want to. What is our attitude towards that? Do we want to come face to face with God? Or do we want a mediator to go before us? Do you want me to speak to him for you? Well, it ain't going to happen. I ain't going to talk to him. I talk to him on your behalf. Let me take that back. I do, because I pray for each and every one of y'all. And I do talk to God about you. Not in a bad way. I'm not talking about you. Okay, that didn't sound right. It ain't gossip. That's right. Oh, glory. We have to understand, all right, we don't have to perform. It's not about works. You know, I'm reading a lot about, and I've told you, I've shared with you about the great awakenings that have occurred in this great country. And the latest book I'm reading is about George Whitefield. For those of y'all who don't know, he was a great, tremendous evangelist, started in England and made his way over to America, and really was got into a lot of hot water in England for preaching justification by faith alone. And it's not by works. And here we are, 260 some years later, and some of us still struggle with that. I'm not saying some of y'all, I'm just saying in the body of Christ, still struggle with, I'm unworthy. I am so unworthy. I cannot approach the throne room of God. We struggle with that. Some still struggle with that. But we have to understand our righteousness. We have to get that. Amen. We have to get that point clear. We have to be solid. We have to have a solid foundation on that point alone, so that we can have all the benefits that come with it. Amen. And two of those benefits are peace. How many want more peace in their life? Yes. And how many could use a little more joy? I don't want to say by the look on your faces, you could use a little more joy in your life. Because why? Why do we want joy? Joy is our strength, right? The joy of the Lord is our strength. It is our strength to go out and do battle, to face our enemy, to pick up our sword and to do battle. The joy of the Lord is our strength. But it must be revelation to us. We can't just listen to it and it be head knowledge. It has to be revealed knowledge to us. I'm sure people have been hearing about righteousness for their entire life, but some of them still don't get it. We need to get it. I'm telling you, as a church, moving forward in 2018, we need to understand our righteousness. I'm talking about Christian Growth Center. We need to understand our right standing with God, our righteousness, by the blood of Jesus and by the blood alone, not by how we live or what we do or what we say or how we come to church, who we help. No, it is by the blood of Jesus alone. His mercies are new every morning. The cover must come off and the truth revealed to you personally. That's what revelation means. Revelation means to take the cover off. What has been hidden is hidden no more. And once you understand that you are righteous, then comes the peace and followed by joy. Peace followed by joy. And it quells, suppresses the turmoil inside of you. Once you understand who you are in Christ, it quenches that turmoil, that inner, just what Paul talked about. You know, the spirit wants to do this, the flesh wants to do this. They're always at each other. Well, understanding who you are in Christ and experience the peace and joy that is in the kingdom of God eliminates that in your life. Don't you want that eliminated? And when we have peace and joy by revelation, then nothing can steal it from you. Once it's revealed knowledge, once it's revelation to you, nothing can take it away. Amen. Nothing that comes on you, nothing that anything is said to you, no influence, no attacks, nothing can take it away from you. Because it's revealed knowledge, it's revelation to you. Revealed knowledge of our peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. And that, my friends, that in peace and joy, that is what wins souls. That is what is infectious. You think about it. What draws you to other people? Is it because they walk around with a scowl and they just grumble at you when you talk to them? And they look down with cast eyes or they criticize? Is that what draws you to people? No. It's the peace inside of them. You sense it. You sense that peace dwelling on the inside of them. It's the joy that they express with their countenance, with their actions, with their generosity. That is what draws you to people. And when you understand who you are in Christ and that peace and joy resides inside of you, that light goes out and that's what draws people to you and opens the door for you to speak into their life.
Yes. Yes.
Peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. You know, Danny Johnson came with a word of encouragement last week that we must be alive. The church must be alive. We can't be a dead church and expect those doors to be open and people coming through them. We must be alive. So, what does it mean to be alive? Well, peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Understanding who we are in Christ. Walking in that. Walking in our authority. You know, people are drawn to that as well. I mean, they are drawn to people that are confident. And what I mean by confident, I don't mean prideful. I mean confident in who they are. People are drawn to confidence. It can be in a negative way. I mean, you can have confident people that are not great people, but people are still drawn to them. But why? Because they're drawn to that confidence. And we need to be confident in who we are in Christ, and that confidence will draw souls unto us and open the door for us to speak into their lives. I'm telling you, we need to get ready. You've been hearing it for years, I'm sure. They've made songs about it. People get ready. Jesus is coming. But we need to get ready. We need to get ready. Christian Growth Center needs to get ready. We need to get ready. We need to prepare ourselves individually. We need to prepare ourselves corporately. And I'm telling you, prayer. How do I get ready? How do I prepare myself? How does a church prepare itself? Through prayer. Through prayer. We need to position ourselves and we must discern, listen to this, we must discern the voices in our life. What do I mean? There are so many voices out there. So many voices telling us so many things. How do we know which ones to follow and which ones not to? Jesus said that my sheep know my voice. We have the ability within us, if you're born again, to know which voice to follow. To know not to do that. To know which voice to follow. But what voice are we listening to? What voices in the world are we listening to? Are we listening to the media, the news, our friends, our family maybe, that may be telling us different things than what the Word of God tells us? Different from what the Holy Spirit is speaking to us? Do we have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to us? We need to align ourselves with the Word of God, certainly. But who or what are you aligning yourself with in the natural? Simple, another way of saying that we've been saying is, what are you giving your attention to? What are you giving your attention to daily? Where is your attention? How do I know where I'm giving my attention? You can follow the money trail. What are you giving your money to? Are you giving it to hobbies, to whatever? Our attention needs to be on Jesus. Jesus needs to be the center of our life. He has laid a straight and narrow path before us, and we need to walk it. We need to walk that line. Isn't there a song about that? I won't do the Man in Black's impersonation for you. Walk that line. So, what does all this mean for 2018? It means that we need to reposition ourselves, realign ourselves, get back on the path. It's an excellent opportunity. You know, people make New Year's resolutions all the time. I'm not talking about a resolution. It's an opportunity to just get a fresh start, to get back on that path, to get back on the path that God wants us on, wants you on individually for your life, wants the church on, the corporate body on, to what? Impact the New River Valley. We've got to make an impact. We can't come in here on Sunday alone, sit here, and then do nothing. We can't. Individually, we need to be evangelizing. We do. It's the great commission. I'm not saying you got to go and preach to people. I'm just saying you got to be nice. Let them see your peace. Yeah. Let them see the joy inside of you. And then they'll ask you questions. Why, man, you just went through a tough thing. You lost your father. How do you cope with that? You're joyful. You know, I can see the peace. You can tell when someone's at peace. You can tell when someone's in turmoil. They it's all over them. Their body's tense. Their face, you know. They'll ask you, how? Well, let me tell you. Let me tell you how. It's what we need to be doing. We need to be realigning, repositioning ourselves. It's okay. You know, whatever happened in 2017 is in 2017. We're going to have a fresh start. And not like we have to start all over and reinvent the wheel. I'm not talking about that. We can have a fresh start, a new year, a new life in Christ with Him being the center of it all. Can't we? Didn't He die to give us that opportunity? Aren't His mercies new every day? You know, He died once and for all. Our forgiveness is secure. Now let's live it. Let's live life. Let's live the abundant life that He died to give us. Let's take on that life of Jesus and take it out there. Let's be something to somebody that needs what we have inside of us. Let's be the church that we are. Let's be more than we are. And we can be more than we are in Christ. Right? Exceedingly, abundantly, above and beyond. All that we could think or imagine we can be because of God and His Son, and then the one that His Son sent.
Amen.
That dwells and lives inside of each one of us. Can we do that?
Yes.
Y'all get ready. I'm telling you, 2018 is going to be a tremendous year, I believe, for the church, universal. I believe for Christian Growth Center. And I believe individually. Listen, the church can't prosper unless you're prospering. Right? Because we are all part of the church. We all have a place. We all have a position. We all have an assignment. We all have a destiny. We all have a duty. We all have something that we can provide to the church to keep it going on the right path. So in your time of meditation, meditate on these things. How do I need to realign myself to get back on the path if I've wandered off of it? To maybe get back to center, closer to center? How do I do that? What do I need to do? What did He say? Ask. Ask for wisdom and He'll give it to you liberally. You don't have to just, I don't know what to do. I don't know how I'm going to do this. I don't know what to do in this situation. Get that out of your vocabulary.
Amen.
You do know what to do.
Yes.
You have the one inside of you that knows what to do.
Yes.
Ask Him what to do. Don't say, I don't know.
Amen.
I don't know how to handle this situation. I don't know what to say to this person. I don't know what to do in this area. I don't. You do. You do. You do.
Yes.
You have the answer.
Thank you.
You have it. Amen?
Amen?
Father, I thank you. I thank you that, Lord, as we do close out this year, 2017, what a tremendous year it's been, Lord, but what a tremendous year 2018 is going to be. We look for increase. We never look back. We don't want to decrease. We want increase to come in every area of our life, especially as the Word of God is applied to our life. So, Father, I thank you, and I declare 2018 to be a banner year, to be a year over and above all that we can ask or think or imagine, because God is, He is the abundant God. He is the limitless God. You know, the universe, they say, is still expanding. Well, if Jesus is the center of it all, then He is expanding. And we are expanding with Him.
Yes.
So increase, ever increasing,
yes,
ever expanding. That's what we're called to. The body of Christ should be increasing and expanding. And we are that agent of change to provide that. So get ready. I'm telling you, spend time with God. Align yourself with what the Word of God says about you. Figure out who you are in Christ. I mean, I'm telling you, let it drop down inside of you and get a revelation of it like you've never had before of who you are in Christ Jesus. The benefits, the promises that are afforded to you because you are born again. Walk in that righteousness. Don't let anything take it from you. And that peace and that joy that will be inside of you will be so infectious.
Yes.
You know, the word came forth that it'll be easy. Soul winning will be easy in these last days. It'll be easy. Don't think of how hard it is to talk to someone about Jesus. Don't let that cross your mind. You might not even have to. They'll just walk up to you in line and say, man, I just saw you and I've got to give God the glory. I don't know. Just get ready.
Amen.
Just get ready. Amen?
Amen.